Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Nancy, come share what God showed you.
As I was interceding, you know, and you go into the place where God's presence is so strong, I saw he took me back to when William Seymour, that was in the stable in 1902 when God's Holy Spirit fell. Was that his name?
Yes.
In Azusa Street. And he had to put a box over his head. He would hide under that box because the Holy Spirit was so strong on him. And God was moving, and God was moving all over the country. And it spread all over the world. Then he brought me up to this place 50 years ago, 48 years ago. When Holy Spirit felt like that, people were lined up for blocks around here. I wasn't here, but I've heard about it. I've heard about our God coming that way. And then he was showing me the tears that were pouring into this place. This small group of people is very precious to him. Because we're praying in what he's going to do. And he always uses those that are hungry and poor in spirit. Meaning we're hungry, we're getting hungrier. And he was showing me that he starts here because this is the place that he wants to rebirth it. And he has been rebirthing it. But we're in a special place. We're in the stable. We're in that place that God has created. This is a special place. So Holy Spirit, we offer up our intercession and our prayers. We come and we weep between the porch and the altar, if that's what you would like us to do. And we do it with great joy, because we're going to stand. We're going to stand for this city. We're going to stand for this state. And then we're going to the nations. But it starts here on the ground with your tears.
And that outpouring that took place all those years ago took place in this room. This upper room right here. And God can do it again.
And even as I'm rebirthing you in this season, and I'm remaking you and remolding you, I'm doing this for my purposes. I'm making you to reshape you, to shape you into the future, says the Lord. For that which was in the past is in the past, and it won't last. But with each coming season, I do a remaking and a remolding within you, that you would be flexible in me, in my hands, for the new wineskin to be poured, for the new wine to be poured into the new wineskins. So will you lay yourselves at my altar to be remade again? Would you lay yourselves at my altar to weep between the altar and the porch again? Would you lay prostrate before me in your homes and cry out for your loved ones? Will you lay your crowns at my altar and take up only my crown, that my glory would be seen in you and through you, says the Lord? For it is a time now to where now it's no longer just about anointing. It's no longer just about a man or a woman or personality or anointing. It is about my glory. It is about my glory. And even as you lay your lives down unto me, I say I will pour out my glory in and through you. And even as I reshape you and even change the very fabrics of your beings and change your very mindsets and change the very paradigms of your minds, not to look unto a man to work for man in ministry, but you work with me and with man and with partnerships in the ministry now. For it is a time of a linking and a partnering with. So allow me to change your mindsets as you lay prostrate before me. Allow me to change your mindsets. Allow me to redo you and remake you for the new season ahead. For if you will not allow me to remake you and remold you, you will become staunch. You will become rigid. So I say, humble yourselves, all ye people, under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves, for it is I who give grace to the humble. It is I who give grace unto the humble. So lay yourselves before me. Cry out to me, and I will surely move amongst you above and beyond that which you could even think or ask or hope for, says your good heavenly Father.
I want to hear what you just heard from the Lord. That was a very important word for us tonight. Tell me what you heard. What is God speaking to you right now? Marcel, are you hearing something from the Lord, honey? He's got some plans for you, Marcel. What are you hearing from the Lord? What did you just hear? What did he just say? Remember, you're paying attention now, Steve. Remain humble and allow me to transform you and change your mind. Ooh, that's a good one. Allow him to change your mind. Yes. Lay before him, lay prostrate before him and cry out for your families and for yourselves. Yes, he did. He said it again, and that's good. Again and again. Do you think he means it? Who? Yes. Darla. There are new seasons ahead. That's a good word. New seasons ahead, yes. Rebirthing, reshaping, remaking, and remolding. We're going to be different, aren't we? When we come into his presence, every time we come into his presence and surrender, something is changed on the inside of us. And he starts changing us. It's a powerful and most mysterious work. I saw, yep, Michelle. As we lay prostrate before him, there will be paradigm shifts in the way we think. God's really interested in how we think. Yes. That's right. It's not about personalities. It's for his glory. Ooh, yes. Someone else. I want to pay attention to how much you're hearing. So I'm going to check, see if you've missed anything. Ooh, yes. The past won't last. Did you hear that? He also said he was making us flexible for the new wine. Weep before the altar and the porch. Lay down your crowns and take up his. It's all about my glory, he said. I will pour out my glory in you and through you. Do you remember what the first sign of his glory was in the book of Acts? Mighty rushing wind that came upon them and was in them. Also in the book of John, this beginning of miracles, when he turned the water into wine, this, and he showed forth his glory. He changed one element. The whole basic principles of that element were changed into something different. That's what he's talking about tonight, changing us so that we are different. How many of you want to be different? I do. Man, I really want to be different. I have no idea what I want to be, but I want to be different. I do know that. That's what he's doing in his presence. Who? We're not to look for man, but to work with God. and with others, partnering with them. Then he said, allow me to change your mindset. There is a new season ahead. Humble yourselves, for I give grace to the humble. Cry out to me, and I will surely move among you. Far more than you could ask or believe for. So let's go into this next season. We're going to have several more worship songs, and then we're going to have our speaker. But prepare your heart to be changed. Come into that presence with an open heart so that when the speaker comes up, I'm going to introduce him right now so he can come straight up as soon as he's ready. Remember, we're being moved by the Spirit. He'll just come up and pick up the mic and start sharing. And your hearts will already have been opened and ready for change. And the word of the Lord will bring you change also. So come into his presence right now and get ready.
Hallelujah. Let's just continue to worship him. His presence is obviously in this place. Oh, we bless you, God. We exalt you, Lord. We give you glory. In the presence of the Lord, there is the fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. God, we give you the glory tonight. We exalt you. We love you. We worship you. Hallelujah. Wonderful presence of the Lord is in this place. Wonderful presence of the Lord is in this place. We exalt you, Lord. Hallelujah. Kore bashatere arabasata. Wonderful presence of the Lord is in this place. Hallelujah. Sharabo koria nananamashata. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost for a little bit. Hatoria neshe. Ekalalarabo saria tete hishata dabasa. Yelele koria baba sandoria limosa. Shitata rabosha. Yekala rohotoria hande iatore basha. Yakala roboshi tirata bashata. Yayalolosa nananamashita rabokete ita. Yalalosa tarabosata iatabose. Shandora kaate etele bositika. Shahande lebo resite kando rabaete. Yahando lebosata. Rebashite lebo korabashata. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Shatabosa. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Wonderful presence. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. The glory of the Lord is in this place. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your presence tonight, Father. Jesus, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for being here. You're always so faithful to come. Thank you for this house. Thank you for this space. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for honoring us with your presence. Lord, we love you. We love you tonight. We exalt you, Jesus. We just lavish you with love. We just pour our love out on you tonight. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for these leaders tonight. Thank you for these servants of God. Thank you for these eagles. Thank you for these who've come to hear from you tonight. God, we thank you. We look to hear from you that we leave tonight sharper. We leave tonight more empowered. We leave tonight more anointed. We leave tonight with more instructions for what you would have us do in this time, in this realm, in the earth. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Such a wonderful presence here. It's almost, you just don't want to leave, so we're just going to kind of stay in the flow here. God is so good. Hallelujah. He is so good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I am so honored tonight to be here with you to share the word of the Lord. I am very blessed. And I just want to, I don't plan to keep you long, but I just want to sort of take my time tonight and let God speak tonight. I want to give honor tonight to Kingdom Alliance Network for this opportunity to share the word of the Lord with you tonight. Particularly, I want to give honor to Mary Glazier. Mary, you're my friend. You're my mentor. You're a prophet of God. You're an apostle over the state of Alaska, and I want to give honor to you tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Robert's not here tonight, but he's traveling, I know. I want to share that he's also my dear brother, apostolic pastor, leader, man of God, and I give honor to him tonight. And when I get a chance to see him, I'll hug on his neck and love on him. And, of course, Eleanor, my sister in Christ, prophet of the Lord, warrior, I give honor to you tonight as well. I want to thank all of you for coming tonight, braving through the snow. Praise God. That's spiritual warfare, or it can be. But I thank you for being here tonight. I thank God for Kingdom Alliance because this ministry and Windwalkers have been sort of my incubator, Mary. I've never shared that with you. But it's been a time where God could minister to me and build me up a little bit. I came from a tradition that was very wonderful and taught me protocol and taught me the word of God and taught me so many wonderful things. And as God began to minister to my life and call me higher, I found myself a little timid concerning the things of the Holy Spirit. And I remember many years as the Lord began to transition me more deeper into the things of God. I remember you, Mary, teaching, even actually from this platform, there was a meeting going on here. And I remember you saying, you can prophesy. You can prophesy. And so your teaching and your ministry has been very instrumental and formative in my life tonight. So I want to thank you for that. Certainly want to thank God for my lovely wife, Mary, who's with me, my partner in ministry. Praise God. Well, I don't want to detain you long. There is a word from the Lord I want to share with you tonight. Chapter 13, beginning at verse 14. And it reads on this wise. Now when Elisha had fallen sick with the illness with which he was to die, Joash, king of Israel, went down to him and wept before him, crying, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And Elisha said to him, take a bow and arrows. So he took a bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, draw the bow. And he drew it. Elisha said, laid his hands on the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the Lord's arrow of victory. Someone say, the Lord's arrow of victory. The arrow of victory over Syria, for you shall fight the Syrians in Aphek until you have made an end of them. And he said, take the arrows, and he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground with them. And he struck three times and stopped. Then the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck down Syria until you had made an end of it. But now you will strike down Syria only three times. I want to talk very briefly tonight about steps to corporate victory tonight. My head up? Oh, I am. Okay. Is that better? Okay. Couple principles I want to share with you tonight. We understand that the New Testament is concealed in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament. So when we read this passage of Scripture, it's actually a foreshadowing of the 21st century church. Because in this passage, we see three things. We see a bow, we see the arrow, and we see the hands of Elisha, the prophet. And they did, and what those things signify is the bow signifies the apostolic because it sends. We see the arrow, which signifies the prophetic because it points. And then we see the hands of Elisha, which represents the anointing of God. And so in this context, we see because of their sin, Israel had fallen into idolatry, and God had allowed them to go through this this time of testing in which the Syrian army was defeating them. There had been a very long war, and this war had gone on so long until Israel's army had been reduced basically to nothing. They only had about 50 horsemen. They only had about 10 chariots, and they only had about 10,000 ground troops. They were completely bare bones in terms of an army. And so they were very, very beat down, as it were. And so we find here Elisha coming to, King Josiah coming to Elijah, seeking the man of God for a word from the Lord. And I believe tonight, like Israel, because Israel was occupied by Syria, Syria was just destroying this nation because God was allowing them to go through this time of testing. I believe that the church of America, the church in even the church throughout the world, is being occupied by what I call satanic occupiers. The enemy setting up garrisons to occupy territories that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see this all over the area. We see this in the seven spheres of influence. We see this in business. We see this in education. We see this in government. We see this in a family, in faith. We see this all over where the enemy is setting up all types of garrisons. And we see sexual deviancy in one realm. And then we see in the area of government where we see people vying for offices, and they're not vying for those offices to serve. But oftentimes they're vying because it's a trophy. It's something to win. And we see I could go all the way through the list of all the ways the enemy is setting up these garrisons to take territory. But how many of you know that God wants us to war against those things? The evil, not the people, but the evil in the world, and be a weapon against the evil. I believe like Israel, we are in a war against evil and seducing spirits that seek to lull the church of God to sleep. But how many of you know we're victorious tonight? Amen, we're victorious. See, the Church of Christ in many places, I believe, as we look across the nation, God's church, and tonight I just want to encourage the church and build us up tonight. We're not coming to criticize the church, but we're coming just to state the facts, amen? As someone says, I'm just saying. But I see sometimes as I've traveled and I've seen there oftentimes the body of Christ, which is so beautiful, but there are places in the body of Christ where sometimes we fall asleep in consumerism, where it's bless me and what the church can do for me. And sometimes we find ourselves in just content. And in essence, we sort of have our wedding gown on and not our war clothes on. And God wants us to get our war clothes on. God wants us to get so mad at the enemy where we tell the enemy we are no longer the prey, we are the predator, and we're coming against you. There was a movie that was on that came out in 1996, and it was a movie by Mel Gibson, and it was called Ransom. And I don't watch a lot of movies, but sometimes I'll come across a movie that has a theme that's that has a redemptive theme, and that's what I lock into. And in this movie, Mel Gibson played this businessman. He was a multimillionaire, very rich, very well known. Well, as it were, there was a people who wanted to extort money from him, and so they actually kidnapped his son. And of course, they begin to say, if you want to see your son again, you must give us so many millions of dollars. And so Mel Gibson, playing this businessman, he and his wife were in torment because this man would call and say, I've got your son, and if you ever want to see him, I want you give me so many millions of dollars. And so what happened was this went on for a while, and Mel Gibson was getting the money together, but the man who took his son made one mistake. He pushed him too far. He made one call too many, and what happened was Mel Gibson, something switched in him, and this millionaire, something turned on in him. And he said, I'm going to call a press conference. And he called a press conference, and he told this kidnapper, you turn onto this channel. I've got something I want to say to you. And the millionaire, this kidnapper is just kind of moving his hands together because he's expecting to hear when he can get the money and where it's going to be. And so Mel Gibson, playing this role, has the cameras there and all the networks are recording, and he's in this studio, and this money is on the table. He's got all these millions of dollars, stacks of money's on the table. And the kidnapper is watching, and he's locked in. And Mel Gibson, playing this role, looks into the camera, and he says to him in so many words, you thought you were going to get this money as a ransom for my son, but I'm flipping the script. I am now making this a ransom on your head. And that's the kind of attitude God wants us to have against the enemy. You thought you were going to steal from us and make us afraid. You thought you were going to make the body of Christ nothing. But you know what? We're flipping the script tonight. We are warriors in the Lord Jesus Christ. Greater is he within us than you will ever be. And we are no longer afraid. Now you are the prey and we are the predator. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So I'm going to talk about steps to corporate victory tonight. As we read this passage in 2 Kings chapter 13, the first thing we find, the first step we find is that Joash here, we find the king going before Elisha, and he is weeping. He is repenting because Israel had been away from God for so long, which tells us what? It tells us the first thing that God is saying to us that we as a church, the church across America, we need to repent for living in silos and letting our numbers be reduced and our strength be reduced. What do you mean by that? Well, Elijah and Israel had separated from the Lord. They had been away, and God was judging Israel. And we know that this happened a lot with Israel, where they would turn away from the Lord, and he'd bring them through this cycle where they would have to repent, and then he would restore them. It was a cycle with Israel, which just demonstrates how much God loves Israel and how much he loves us, because he kind of puts us through the same thing. But because of this last go-around, they had actually become weak in number, and they were actually decaying. And so God was punishing them. And so Joash was weeping before Elijah. And I believe what's happened in the body of Christ tonight, I believe we need to repent, because oftentimes, and again, I've had the chance, Mary and I have had the chance to travel and see certain things. I oftentimes see patterns, even in our city, God have mercy upon us, where we have pastors sometimes who won't talk to each other. We have churches that won't talk to each other. And sometimes in the body of Christ, we find these what I call these religious turf wars, where it's like, we bless you, brother, bless you, sister, but we never come together. And what happens is when the enemy comes against the body of Christ, we go to the battle divided. One or two people will go and the rest of us will stay home and say, well, they've got it. But you know, when Israel fought against the enemies, when Israel took the land, they went together as tribes all together. All 12, the anointing was on all 12 of them. None of them could stay home. God says, you're going to take the land together. And when they did that, the anointing was upon them, and they were blessed. And so the first thing that God wants us to understand tonight is, as the body of Christ, he wants us to repent for being in silos. And so I want us to take a moment and just, not necessarily you in this room, but I just want to ask the Lord to forgive us as the body of Christ for not coming together as we should to take over these satanic occupiers, to come against the enemy corporately. Because how many of you know there's an anointing when we come together corporately? Yes, there is. So, Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your mercy and your patience. But, Lord, we just stand on representing the body of Christ, even in this city, Lord, and ask you to forgive us for not coming together as we should. Lord, there's been wonderful opportunities and wonderful efforts by some to come together. And, Lord, we thank you for that, and we honor those efforts. But, Lord, there are so many in the body of Christ, so many of the soldiers that stay home and don't come together. And so we ask you to forgive us for that, Father. Forgive us. We repent on behalf of those who still have not seen that we must come together to take this city, to take this state for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Then number two, as we talk about steps to corporate victory, we have to restore the apostles and the prophets. Amen. In this passage, Elisha tells Joash, he says, take up the bow and arrows. And I brought some arrows tonight because I want to do a little demonstration. He said, take up the bow and arrows. And here Joash stands between three weapons in this story. He has the bow. He stands with the arrows. And then there's the anointing resident in Elisha the prophet. The bow represents apostolic authority because it sends. The arrows represent prophetic authority, as we've already declared, because it points. And Elisha's hands carries that third weapon, which is the anointing of God, the power of God. And how many of you know, as the church of God, we need all three? The Bible lets us know in Ephesians 2:20 that the church was built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Amen? And to win this spiritual war, we must, against injustice and sin and all type of satanic occupiers, we need all three. Amen? All three working together. Praise God. Number three, the apostles must rise into position in calling. Because we find here, that's the third step. Because we find here in this passage, Josiah drew the bow. Elisha tells him, not only take up the arrows, but I want you to draw the bow. And again, we've already established that the bow is symbolic of apostolic positioning and calling. So, for example, he took this bow and he draws it. Now, Josiah was he symbolized an apostle in that he governed. He was a king, but he was a governing king. But he was also a warring king.
God was calling him to do this. And so when he drew the bow, and actually when Elisha said, draw the bow, he was getting into action mode. In other words, if I could paraphrase, Elisha was saying, let me see how you're supposed to be, because right now you're before me repenting and crying, but I want to see you how God made you. So I want you to pick up the bow and arrow, and I want you to draw, because I want to see what you look like when you're fulfilling your purpose. And he tells you to pick up the arrow and the bow, and he draws it, because that represents apostolic capacity. We're going to talk about that in a moment. You know, back in December 2014, Eleanor, God gave you a word here in this space, and you actually, it was a word for Mary, and you shared at that time that God was going to give Mary, as an apostle, the ability to recognize those who had apostolic capacity. And then the next night, Mary, you had a word, and you gave a word to me saying that you were, God had given you apostolic capacity. And after you gave that word in December 2014, in March 2015, I went through one of the worst spiritual warfares I've ever went through in my life. Because the enemy knew that once that word came, he was trying to stop the apostolic anointing that was coming upon my life. So the enemy will always fight when the Lord gives you a word, the enemy will always come against you to try to stop that word. And so I just wanted to share that, because the bow represents the apostolic authority, and I'm going to demonstrate tonight a little bit how God is using this in our lives. It represents God's calling to his people that even in the context of war, he wants us to stand up and fight. Even though we're going through great challenges sometimes as the people of God, God still wants us to fight. And as King Joash positioned himself, he was positioning himself and functioning as an apostle, because he was one who governed, who pioneered, who built, who warred on behalf of Israel. He was once operating in rebellion and fear, but now the prophet was saying, I want to see you now in the position that God originally called you in. And that's what he was doing. And I see sometimes in the body of Christ, so many believers sometimes get wrapped up in fear and satanic distractions, where we cannot engage in warfare. We cannot get into our position because the enemy distracts us with all types of things going on. As the enemy tried to distract me, and it tried to distract Mary, my wife. But how many of you know the church today needs apostles to rise up? Amen. And we have one in Mary, Glazier, and others. We have apostles that are rising up to declare and to build the body of Christ. I love what the Word of God says in 2 Samuel chapter 22. The Lord trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. And then in Psalms 144 and 1, David wrote, blessed be the Lord who trains my hands to war and my fingers to fight or to battle. Amen. God wants us to rise up against satanic occupiers. So it doesn't matter where you are in the marketplace or where God calls you, wherever there's a garrison of the enemy, God wants you to pray against that thing. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down thoughts and imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Look at somebody and say, I'm armed and dangerous. You better believe it, baby. I'm armed and dangerous. And you know what? The enemy is afraid of you. The enemy does not want us to know what we have inside. He's afraid of us. I heard somebody say that the devil has more faith than some Christians, because that's why he attacks us, because he knows what God put in us can destroy his kingdom. Hallelujah. Pardon me if I get a little... Right? This is sort of my warfare against the enemy. Hallelujah. Now, I want to share something, too, as I prepare to move on here. How many of you know Elisha was sick, if you read this passage? The man of God was sick, and the scriptures say he was sick with the sickness that he was going to die from. But, you know, the anointing was still operating even though he was sick. Even though he was sick, the anointing was still operating. But God is telling us from this passage that as we talk about apostles and prophets rising up again as a part of the strategy to have corporate victory, God is saying that there are generals like Elisha that are going on to be with the Lord. And so we need to step up into the place that God's called us, because God is calling some of our generals home. Like Elisha was a general going home, and I believe that Josiah understood that you're getting ready to leave here, but I have to get something from you. And there are apostles and prophets, generals that God has put in his army that he's taking home, and it behooves us to get close to them so that we can draw on that anointing, and we can take it to the next generation. Amen? Hallelujah. Judy Jacobs, when she was here, she had a book, and Mary purchased one of the books, my Mary, and I was reading it just the other day, a little bit of it, and she was talking about, the name of the book is You Are Anointed for This. And you are anointed for what God's called you to do and be. And in this book, she talked about she was getting ready to minister, I believe, in some place in Africa. And there was about close to over 500,000 people she was getting ready to minister to with her team. And the curtains were drawn. They were getting ready to come out. And the enemy began to come against her and tell her, "What are you doing? You're not a big name. You're not like this person or that person. What are you doing trying to minister to these people? You're a failure." And she began to minister to herself like David did. And she said, the Holy Spirit said to her, "You are anointed for this. You can do this. God called you for this." Yes, she was drawing her bow back saying, "Yes, I'm anointed for this." Hallelujah. Number four, as we talk about steps to corporate victory, we have to embrace the anointing for war. Hallelujah. Someone say after me, embrace the anointing for war. You know, when the prophet laid hands on King Josiah, when the prophet laid hands on King Josiah's hands, he imparted the anointing for warfare. Because he says, "First, I want you to draw the bow." But he couldn't shoot until the prophet laid his hands on his hands. Then he had the anointing to send. He had the anointing to shoot. And it's the anointing that increases our capacity. That's why we need the anointing of God. The enemy tries to keep us away from the anointing because no matter where you are in your life, when God's anointing comes upon you, your capacity increases. Your capacity increases, and he knows that. How many of you want more capacity in the Lord? Hallelujah. Lord, we want more capacity in you. Hallelujah. This tells us that the anointing of the Lord comes upon us when we're found doing what God calls us to do. When you're in the place where God's called you to do, and to be and doing what he's called you to do, the anointing of God is there to bless you because you're in action mode. Number five, talking about steps to corporate victory. We have to recognize our enemy. In this passage, the prophet said to the king, King Josiah, he says to him, "Open the windows to the east and shoot the arrow." And I looked that up. Why the east? Well, the east was where the Syrian army was encamped. That was their camp. And he says, "I want you to shoot the arrow in that direction." And I believe God, through the prophetic, was teaching him not to fear the enemy. One of the ways in warfare, even today, when you want to taunt the enemy, you shoot over their bow. North Korea did that not too long ago. They shot a missile over their neighbors just to kind of harass them. But how many of you know that God will let us shoot an arrow over the enemy's bow? God wants us to shoot over the enemy's bow. God wants us to stop being afraid of the enemy because the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. I just come to stir you up a little bit tonight. Power and love and of a sound mind. So how do we shoot at the enemy? We shoot at him with the word of God. We shoot at him with the blood of Jesus. We shoot at him with the Holy Ghost. We shoot at him with our faith. We shoot at him by praying in the 10 tongues. We shoot at the enemy saying, "You can't stop us because greater is he within me," hallelujah, "than he that's in the world." Got any warriors in the house tonight? Any warriors in the house tonight? Hallelujah. We've got to not be afraid to speak the truth. I shared the story not too long ago. I was at the university and someone asked me to pray a prayer. It was a Black History event. And they asked me to pray a prayer, and it was a couple of weeks out, and I said, "Sure, I'll pray." And the enemy immediately began to say, "Well, when you pray, don't say in Jesus' name. Just say something really nice and neutral that won't offend anybody." And as it got closer, I could hear the enemy saying, "Okay, it's getting closer now. When you get to that moment and you get before the chancellor and all the vice chancellors and everyone, don't say in Jesus' name. Just pray something really neutral that's politically correct and won't offend anybody." And so I get up to the platform, and then the enemy's still speaking. "Okay, now, when you get to this part, don't say in Jesus' name." And I prayed that prayer. When I got to the end, I said, "I submit this prayer in the name of the one who changed my life, Jesus Christ." And after that, there were a lot of Christians who were listening, and they were afraid to say what I said. And one of them came up to me, I say Nicodemusly, as Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. One came up to me Nicodemusly and said, "I'm so glad you said it in Jesus' name." Because that enemy, that satanic occupier, even on that campus, had shut down the Christians and said, I have this domain. You don't talk about Jesus on this in this area. You can talk about homosexuality. You can talk about drugs. You can talk about everything. You can promote anything, but you cannot promote Jesus because this is my territory. And when I said Jesus Christ, I challenged that devil. And when I said Jesus Christ, those believers began to say, if you can say it, I can say it. And that's the type of warfare God wants us to take wherever we are, to not be afraid to declare the truth in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Number six, and I'm almost done. God is good, isn't he? As we talk about steps of corporate victory, God wants us to prophetically declare victory. Someone say that after me. Prophetically declare victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In this passage of scripture, as the arrow flew, Elijah said, shoot the arrow. And as it flew, the prophet of God said, look, the arrow of the Lord's victory. The arrow of victory. He made a prophetic declaration. The arrow of the Lord's victory. And what he was saying was, the environment is now right for multiple victories. Their anointing has been released. The arrow of the Lord's victory over Syria. And to win the war against demonic forces that seek to block the saints, to come against us, we have to continually make prophetic declarations. Amen? Prophetic declarations. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I am anointed for this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's prophetic declarations, and that makes the devil run. You know, I can see why the Lord let the enemy come against me, because the Lord was making me a warrior. And God was saying, son, you're too timid, so I'm going to let the enemy come against you. He won't destroy you, but I'm going to let the enemy come against you, so I pull that warrior out of you. And if that's what God is doing to some of you tonight, you feel like, well, Lord, why am I going through what I'm going through? It's only because God's trying to pull the warrior out of you, because he sees might in you. He sees power in you. He wants that to come forth and to wreak havoc on the enemy. And the devil is banking on, he's hoping that you will cower down like Israel and say, oh, devil, don't mess with me. But you know what? You have to say, you know what? I'm flipping the script tonight. I'm no longer going to be the prey. I am the predator, and I'm coming against you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm almost done. Look at someone and say, he's almost done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't we just take a moment and just raise your hand and make a prophetic declaration. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that we are the body of Christ. We are more than conquerors through you. Our houses are blessed. Our homes are blessed. Our finances are blessed. Our children are blessed. Our marriages are blessed. Our jobs are blessed. We're blessed when we come and when we go. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We can't be beat. That which is born of God overcomes the world. And we are born of you. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, that's good. Oh, that's good. That makes the Father's heart glad, and that chases the devil seven ways. Hallelujah. 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 Kobosha tarebosha. Let me make this other point here. Hallelujah. 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 The prophet made prophetic declaration. And then after that, he told the king, he said unto him, take up your arrow. Because the first time he shot one, he said, behold, the arrow of victory, which meant the season had changed. There was time. The victory was now available. It was now possible. And then he says, now take up your arrows. And he scoops up the other arrows, those arrows of warfare. Those arrows represented warfare, and they represent our warfare. Because the word of God declares unto us, the weapons of our warfare are not of this world. They're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. the weapons of our warfare, the blood of Jesus, the Holy Ghost. You know, when I went to New York years ago, when the Lord was he put me through his, what I call, it was really my boot camp years, when God said, I'm calling you to seminary, but it really wasn't seminary. It was about getting me alone in the wilderness where he could kind of build me up a little bit. And I went through one of the, beside the one I just mentioned, I went through a very great time of warfare where the enemy would come against my mind and he was coming against my body. And I was crying out, God, what's going on? What's happening? What are you doing? And what God was doing with me, it's almost like when you go through, when someone's fighting cancer and they go and they have chemotherapy. Well, chemotherapy is designed to get you just enough to kill the cancer without killing you. It's designed to bring you close enough, just to enough intensity to get the effects that you need in your body. And God was putting me through that time of Holy Ghost chemotherapy. And what he was saying, son, I'm going to let the enemy press into you just enough. He's not going to kill you, but what's going to happen is your worship's going to go to another level. You know, when I was down on my knees crying out to God, God was putting in fresh worship into me. Somebody told me the other day, I said, Kim, will you teach me how to worship? And I was like, oh, I can't teach you how to worship. Because this worship came through great trial and tribulation. It came through great press. It came through great struggle. I can't teach you to worship him. That's something that God gave me in the heat of my flames. God was teaching me to be a warrior. He said, son, you're too shallow. You're too timid. I'm going to let you go through this. And when you come out, you're going to be more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. And I love him for it tonight. 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 I didn't love it then, but I love him for it tonight. So the man of God took up the arrows. And then the prophet says to him, strike the ground. Strike the ground. Now, the ground represents territory. Each strike represents victory. And the arrows represent weaponry. So then how should we strike the ground? We should strike the ground perpetually. What the man of God did is he struck the ground, but he said. And the prophet got angry with him. Because what happened was King Josiah yielded to tradition as opposed to being discerning and following the Spirit. The man of God says, you should have struck 5 or 6 times because the arrow, the prophetic declaration had gone forth. And when the prophetic declaration goes forth, anything's possible. Anything's possible. And what happened was he decided he did not have the faith to believe God for multiple victories. You know, even in our nation, there's something called trichotomy in which we think in threes. Get ready, get set, go. On your mark, get set, go. Easy as 1, 2, 3. A, B, C. We think in threes. It's tradition. And I believe that King Josiah had got caught up in a tradition. And so instead of listening to the Spirit, he said, strike the ground. And he fell into 1, 2, 3. And I believe tonight what God is saying to us is in this season where victory is possible, we've got to say, God, I'm greedy for victory. I want victory, and I'm going to keep striking until I see multiple victories. Strike until the Lord says to stop. Don't strike 3 times. Whatever you're going through, strike with the word. Strike with the word of God. Strike with the blood of Jesus. Strike with the Holy Ghost. Strike until you see breakthrough, but don't strike 3 times. Keep striking until you see the victory. Hallelujah. I believe the arrow of victory is synonymous with the gavel of justice, Mary. Now, on last week, during the last Kingdom Alliance meeting, John and Jolene Hamill, for those of you that were there, John prophesied this, and I'm going to read it because I'm going to read it exactly as the Lord gave it to him. He prophesied that God is bringing the cries of the people of Alaska before heaven's courts. Cries of bondage and subjugation and challenge and deprivation. And then he says he's about to establish justice. It's time for the Lord to render judgment in your favor and in favor of the people of Alaska. He is rendering judgment in favor of Alaska. And I believe the early signs of that happened last August when President Obama was here. Because by executive order, he changed Mount McKinley's name back to Denali to honor the First Nations people. That was justice delayed that actually became actualized. That's the type of justice, that's the type of victory that is on the land. Where you've not seen breakthrough, but it is possible now, but we've got to make prophetic declaration and God will manifest the answers. And Mary, at that time, at that meeting, he gave you a judge's gavel. And you entered into a perpetual striking. And you struck 30 times. I counted it. You struck 30 times. Because the verdict of justice is now for the state of Alaska. Like the verdict of justice had come upon Israel during Pharaoh's time and had come during this time of Elisha, the verdict of justice is upon Alaska in our favor. So this is what I want you to do. No matter what you have, what you're fighting, wherever the satanic occupiers are in your sphere of influence, I want you to stand with me. And we're going to strike 30 times. I'm going to count it off. I want you to think about whatever it is you're fighting. And you can name 30 things, or you can just declare the same thing, but I want you to stomp. The man of God told him to strike the ground with the arrows, but you can strike the ground with your feet. And we're going to strike 30 times, and then we're going to give a victory shout. Now, what I want you to do is take a moment and just think about what it is that you're fighting. Where are those Syrians in your life? What is occupying territory that God has for you? What is that thing that you've not been able to break through to? Because the prophetic declaration, there is justice on the land. The arrow of the Lord is flying. And we're not going to just strike 3 times. We're going for 30 and more. What is it? What is it on your mind? Think about it. Okay. Now I'm going to start us. I'm going to strike. And I want you to strike. And I'm going to count it off. And at the end, we're going to give a victory shot. Ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. Shout out to God! Hallelujah! Glory! Hallelujah! 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 Glory to God! Glory to God! Hallelujah! Victory! Victory! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Mary, I'm going to end, but I wanted to give you, each one of you, these arrows. One's for Robert, because, and Eleanor, and this is for Robert, because you are weapons in the Lord's hands. You are warriors, and you are weapons in the Lord's hands, and you are raising up an army. You are mentoring and raising up an army. You are the enemy's worst nightmare, because you are generals. You are leading the way to wreak havoc on the devil's kingdom. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We worship you tonight, O God. We glorify and magnify your holy name, O God. For you alone are worthy to be praised, O God. We praise you, Lord. We worship you. Come on, saints. Praise you, Lord. We praise you. We worship you, O God. We glorify and magnify your holy name, O God. Hallelujah. Get out of your seats. Let's praise him. Let's worship him tonight. He alone is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. We thank you for the victory tonight, oh God. We thank you for the victory, oh God. We thank you for the victory, God. We thank you and we praise you, oh God, for the word of the Lord, oh God, that has come from your servant. present. Oh, God, tonight, Lord. Oh, God, you know. Oh, God, what it's been like. Oh, God, we thank you. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We praise you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We have taken much territory tonight. We have taken much ground tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's a whole bunch of them shouting at the basketball games tonight. What about the church? What about the army of God? Oh, God, release the shout back into your church, oh, God. Release the shout back into your church, oh, God. Thank you, Lord. We've been silent too long. We've been quiet too long. We've been worshiping pretty too long. Oh, God, we thank you and we praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord God. You are stirring up the camp, oh, God. God of your servants, of your army, oh, God. We thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Don't get me started. Oh, my. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's hard to close. I don't know how Robert does it. Thank you, Jesus. Usually my husband closes. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody, let's thank Pastor Kim for that apostolic prophetic word tonight. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. You know what? We believe in sowing into the ministers of those who come and minister. So let's give an offering tonight, people. Yes, you got a word?
Okay. Hallelujah. Kim, this is the beginning of days for you. That which the Lord is forging in you has taken a leap forward because of your faith. And the Lord says sometimes when you feel without faith, God says actually your faith is strong. It's going deep because of the things that you have experienced. The Spirit of God has been forging in you a deep well of faith. And he's drawing from that well and it's bubbling up. And it's going to flood out over the land. And many will be influenced because of the anointing that I've placed in you, saith the Lord. For I will open your eyes to see farther than you've seen before. I will open your ears to hear, and you will hear the prophetic voice of the Lord instructing you. I will increase the dreams and visions in your life, and I will cause you to awaken with the presence of God hovering upon you. For you have found great favor in my sight, saith the Lord. And I would say unto thee that there is a path in front of you that's getting brighter and brighter and brighter. But the Lord says, do you lift up the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of his Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and I will break through in every area you ask me to break through for. For I'm giving you the breaker anointing, saith the Lord. I'm giving you that kind of anointing that will break through strongholds, will break through the obstinate mind that resists the Spirit. And I will give you the word of wisdom that will break through the obstinate, hard mind that resists God. And the Lord says, you will bring many into a place of surrender to Jesus Christ. And I will bless your life. I will bless those that you've wept over. I will bless those that you have lifted before me. I will grant you again and again that which you've asked of my hand, saith the Lord.
And the Lord would further say unto you, son of man, that I've made you a sharp threshing instrument in my hand that's been forged in the fire and through the fire. You were not one that looked at the fire and ran off. Yes, you wanted to, but I'm the one that forged you in the fire and through the fire, and now you speak with the fire. For I say that my church has waxed cold, but I say I would use you even to stir it up again. I will use you to fan the flames even in the place where you are strategically placed. And there were times when you felt like running from there, but God says, no, son, I placed you here. And now I say that I'm going to use you to crack that nut, to crack that nut, to crack that nut of religion, to crack that nut that would hold and bind and that would stiffen. But the Lord says that you won't do it alone, because the worship teams that you are raising up and the prayer teams that you are raising up is going to help to bring down the walls. I'm going to bring down the walls. I'm going to bring down the walls, Deb. I'm going to bring down the walls. And watch me do this. Watch me cause this place to become a house of prayer for all nations to come into, a house of worship, where there again you will begin to see the praises of God go up from that house, and you will see many people come from other houses of worship and join together in this city. For no, it won't be contained in the city church, but it will be in the city of Anchorage. For I say that you will connect other worship teams together, and you all will come together shoulder to shoulder, arm in arm, spirit to spirit, and you will create a city of worship in Anchorage, Alaska, a city of prayer in Anchorage, Alaska. Watch me link you up with other leaders. Watch me link you up, for great favor have I just bestowed upon you, and a new mantle has settled upon you and your wife, for you are one. You are one. You are one. You are one. And you will demonstrate the oneness and the harmony and the unity that you will flow in together. I say you will be a demonstration of what it looks like to flow together. And I say, Mary, even you too, you shall open your mouth wide and I will fill it. I will fill it with my prophecies. I will fill your night visions with my dreams. You will find yourself weeping on the floor as I begin to speak and pour into you, says the Lord. For I will awaken your ear morning by morning and give you the pen of a ready writer, and you will begin to write my visions, write my dreams, write my songs, says the Lord. For they will be songs of deliverance. They will be songs of healing for the nations. For I have called the city church out of its walls into the city once again in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you. And watch me cause my favor to rain down upon you too, Pastor Tim. Watch me. Watch me go ahead of you, Pastor Tim. Watch me go ahead of you, Pastor Tim, and cause my favor to rain down upon you. For yes, I see a red carpet that the Lord would set out before you, and watch me pay your way. Again and again and again. For you have been one to lay down your life. You have been one to lay down your will and your desires, to pick up my will and my desires, says the Lord. And you have been one to even lay down your calling and your anointings and say, God, remake me, remold me. And he says, yes, son, I have heard your cries. In the secret place. And now watch me roll out my red carpet for you. Yes, you will speak here, there, and everywhere. For now, I put a red carpet in front of you, and your way will be paid over and over and over again. In fact, put a calendar. You better have a calendar right by, because there's going to be so many invitations. And I'm serious about this. Your calendar is going to be so full, and you will know and you will discern by the Spirit which ones you are to take up and which ones you are to deny or to put on hold until the appointed time. Thank you, Lord. And welcome back to the North Country, the Lord says. Welcome back to the North Country, for it is I who have brought you back up into the North Country. And even as the snow falls from heaven, so does my word that does not return void unto you. For even have I spoken unto you in years gone by, in months gone by, that I would open up the mission field for you. For I say to you, even as you look out into the streets and see that the streets are white. I say, my harvest is white unto harvest for you, and I will make it easy for you to even go into places that would seem hard, but I call you into the hub towns, into the hub places, into strategic places, not so much the villages, but the hub towns and the hub places. I see you going to Nome. I see you going to Barrow. I know you said Dillingham today. I see you going to the southeast. I see you going to Sitka. I see you going to the hub towns of Alaska, and you finding much favor. But you not only going alone, there will also be others that you begin to link up and hook up with, says the Lord. For this is a time for my hub towns, my strategic places, to begin to come alive in me again. And the Lord would even put some a couple even in, with you. I know you have the lady with you, but I see in time that the Lord is going to favor you with a couple that you will be able to go with that will help open up the way before you. Amen.